From the bayous in Louisiana to the timber country up north, you'll find them out on the trap line chasing furs to put up on the board. Mixing up another batch of that magical stuff, chilling around the fire after the show. Hey, it's Sarah and Jeff, and maybe a guest on the Trappin' Radio.
Welcome to Trapping Radio 2.0. My name is Sarah Gomez. I know Jeff has been handling a lot of the shows, but actually the guys are doing a show right now inside. Jeff's doing an interview with Tim Roper, meat tenderizer, and Jeff. That just rolled off of my tongue.
Meat trapper.
Oh my gosh.
Jeff had we've nicknamed him Meat Tenderizer, but it's the Meat Trapper.
Well, that's the kind of show we've started off with.
It's going to be a goofy one.
We have no idea what we're going to talk about. But anyway, they're in there doing a show, and so we thought, well, we have an hour to spare. Let's just come out here. And so me and Liz, trying to keep quiet while they're doing that, we decided to come out and sit in the side-by-side. The weather is absolutely gorgeous here.
It is.
Coming from Michigan, the cold and the snow and the freeze. We just came off the Arctic tundra. Well, you guys had it down here, too.
We had it down here, yes. Yeah. And it was the first time in years that we have had. I think we ended up getting 7 inches of snow. And
was that like record-breaking down here?
It probably is. I don't know actually what the records are, but we got a lot of snow, and compared to you all, it doesn't shut you all down.
Yeah,
because
right
it's
on going.
The norm.
Yeah,
but it completely stunted us, mm-hmm. and I mean the mail carrier didn't even run. Mm-hmm. And we had set an order in for components for making snares, and it took over 2 weeks to get to us.
Yep.
Whereas it takes 2 or 3 days to get to mm-hmm. us. So. That was interesting.
Yeah. So it's about, what, 50, 55 degrees, 60 degrees out here.
Gorgeous.
And so anyway, I'm here with Liz with Razorback Snares. So thank you for joining me.
Yes. Absolutely.
Razorback Snares. What a story. 1 year ago today. Well, 1 year ago this time of year.
This time of year.
Yep. I helped you guys set up your Facebook page.
Yes.
1 year ago.
Yes, we're older and we're not as technology savvy
yep.
as these youngins.
Yep.
Sarah yeah. was so kind.
Yeah. I remember you guys were just thinking about getting into, building snares yep. and we were talking about the potential of that and the fun and the joy of helping trappers out with a product that
Definitely.
You can be proud of. And anyway, what do you think about this past year looking back? Is it what you thought it was going to be?
It has been fun. I look for it to pick up more, and it already has picked up more.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy making the snares with Carl. And he has taught me a lot that I didn't already know. You know, even though I've been with him 40-something years, I've never made snares with him or watched him make snares.
Mm-hmm.
So I have learned a lot, and I get joy out of doing it just to help other trappers, young and old, but to be able to supply them with, I believe, I'm not bragging at all, but I believe quality snares that will mm-hmm. help them out mm-hmm. and their catches, and that mm-hmm. gives me a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's the best feeling, having she traps in the lure line. Is when I bottle that bottle of lure, when I package that package, I know it's going to a trapper that is going to help them on their line. And being a trappers ourselves, we know that feeling of when we catch something. Like, it's to this day, I mean, we're all here and we can't wait to get up. It's like Christmas, like we're all kids. And that's such a joy to me, knowing that I know what that feels like and I'm sending a product out that trapper is going to get that same feeling.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
Definitely so. And it's fun knowing that they're going to be using our snares out on their trapping lines. And we always tell our customers, we send personalized notes in our boxes when we send our orders out. So that's pretty cool. I enjoy doing that. But we also tell the trappers, hey, when you get catches with our snares, please, we would love to see pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the best
of your
part.
Catches. Yeah, yeah, that's the ultimate part.
Yeah. So what kind of snares do you guys build, or how does, if somebody wants snares, how do they get snares from you?
Well, we don't have a website, so the best way is to either email us or to messenger us and let us know, and then what we usually do is send out Carl's telephone number and he talks to the person and asks them questions to get more specific about their needs. You know, what is it that you're looking for? What is it that you're going to be doing? What state do you live in? Mm-hmm. We do custom orders a lot, because in starting this, we were thinking, okay, we're going to make beaver snares and coyote snares and hog snares and otter snares, you know, raccoon snares. But there's also cable restraints. There's so many restrictions and requirements for each state. Mm-hmm. So we got into the custom ordering, you know, mm-hmm. custom making.
Yeah, I think that's what makes you guys unique, is that one... if you're just beginning to getting into snaring and you've never done it before, Carl can personally walk you through, or you could personally walk them through exactly what they need. You know, if you're new, you don't maybe understand the rules or understand the components or understand the lengths or all of that. You guys walk everybody through
step by step
your order. Yeah. And even if you are an experienced trapper and you've been trapping a long time and you know what you want from your snare, Carl can you can call Carl or you, and you know exactly what is needed. And you can cut those lengths. You know, like I called you and I'm like, we're going to Texas and we need, like, it needs to be like a 7-inch loop and like no slack and all. And Liz had them all cut up like that night.
Yeah, we did. I sent her pictures and I'm like, okay, we got your snare parts and we got your snare pieces and mm-hmm. I've got all your everything cut and ready to go. And she was all excited about it. But the pigtails are a whole lot shorter, so that was really strange putting those together, by the way, because I'm not used to putting something that short together, but that was fun. And mm-hmm. I think we had two orders at that time, and Jeff was talking to Carl. He was like, I think we need about 10 dozen. And our eyes just got huge, and we were like, okay, we got it.
Oh, gosh.
So that was fun.
So are you guys going to get into anything other than snares? Are you going to, like, expand into, say, cable extensions, anchors, or anything like that? I don't know, I guess.
Have talked about it, but we have not done it yet. We've got cable extensions that we have made. And we have made some earth anchors, mm-hmm. But we haven't advertised that yet. We're in the process of talking about it.
We might have some listeners here listening.
We're advertising it now, I guess.
I think to call and say, I need 10 dozen snares or cable extensions to go along with that, have the whole thing complete.
Yeah. And we ordered the Wolf Anchors, but we didn't advertise it, and we ended up giving the Wolf Anchors to you all.
Thank you.
So that helped. That helped our fellow trappers out. So that was pretty cool. But we really enjoy doing it together, and I'm hoping it doesn't do anything but increase from here. It's really, it's fun to me. It's interesting. I get really greasy doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we do wash our snares in the dishwasher. So this wife does wash the snares.
You wash everybody's snares?
I don't wash everybody's.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
We just send them the snares. And a lot, Carl gets a lot of questions about that.
Sure.
Okay, how do I
after you
treat
get them,
my snares?
Now what?
Yeah, he gets a whole lot of questions about that. How do you treat your snares? And how do you paint them? And we dip our snares. But people do it. It's interesting to see how different trappers treat their snares and their traps and stuff, because everybody has their own way.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, we're here at, we're here with you guys. You guys were so gracious to invite us down, and we've been setting your snares out here.
We have.
But yeah, so there's, you guys have invited us down, Jeff and I, and Jeff Haggerty joined us this year.
He did.
Fun
he did.
To have Haggerty around making jokes and pranks and all kinds of things.
Oh, we've got the practical pranks going on.
We really put up with a lot.
We do. Most definitely so.
Liz will be like, "What are they talking about?" I'm like, "You don't want to know. I don't even want to repeat it. I don't even listen."
Or Carl will walk up to his four-wheeler and find stickers on his four-wheeler. Which I'm sure people will hear about if they haven't already. Yeah. So and, that's okay. We've got a few up our sleeves too.
Yep. The week's not over yet.
But there's power in numbers. We really, really enjoy y'all coming down here. I know it's a long haul for y'all. Mm-hmm. Haggerty as well. We have Tim Roper, the meat dropper here, and all of
and the Funk Master.
And the Funk Master, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah, we got Alan with Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. And we're having a blast. There's definitely power in numbers. And we all gather up in the morning and we go out and do our checks and see what we caught. And it's a collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. It's not one trying to up the other.
Yeah, there's none of that going on, really.
No.
I mean, the guys amongst themselves joke and stuff, but, you know, our job, you guys, you know, are here to kill everything. And we have 2 weeks, and it's really important that, you know, you guys take this job really seriously. And so we all chip in and, you know, we get the sets out and we put in long days and we get a check together and
get the numbers up there. Yeah. We're here to help the landowners and get all the nest predator animals that we can taken care of, dealt with, so they can have a good crop of good animals.
And they say, I mean, I know, so Alan came for, was Alan's first time last year, right?
I think so.
And he knocked out a couple hundred raccoon and possum last year.
Yes.
And he's on a spree again this year already.
He's on a mission.
Yeah. But I think wasn't one of the guys talking that they have seen an increase in the turkeys and the waterfowl out here? So
yes. So
that's
we're
pretty cool.
What we're doing, we've been coming out here for years and years, and we're very blessed to be able to do this. This is one of our many predator jobs. We're fixing to go from this job to another job in Mississippi, and then to another job in Franklin, Tennessee. So we love to travel and see new places and be able to help landowners with any nest predator animals, any nuisance animals that they're trying to have dealt with.
Yeah, because you guys run an ADC business year round, so.
Yes.
Yeah, all the things.
Yes, for everything.
Yep, all the things.
So we really enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And doing our snares, we came up with our snare name from Chip Davis helped us with that.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, well, why don't you call it Razorback Snares? Well, we're from Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So that was like the most brilliant thing because we were trying to come up with a name for it. Mm-hmm. He said, just call it Razorback Snares. And we were like, oh my gosh, why didn't I think about that?
Yep. I couldn't imagine it being anything different.
No, no, definitely not. So we enjoyed doing it, most definitely.
The really awesome thing about trapping with you guys here is that you guys supply all of the snares needed for the job.
That
and,
we do.
Liz, you make them all organized and all organized. They're all wrapped together. You've got our cable extensions all ready to go. The split rings are ready to go. Everything is ready to go. And so it's really fun to go out and like put a coyote snare here and beaver snares but today we caught a hog snare.
Yes.
In a snare.
Sarah and I caught it together. It was a collaborative effort and we got the snare and snare support, everything set up, and it was a collaborative effort and we had a blast and there was light at the end of our tunnel. Mm-hmm. So
is that Carl calling you?
No.
Okay, good.
No. It's a 205 sure area code.
The guys are out. We didn't know if anybody needed any help.
That's true.
So. Yeah, that was so fun. We set the hog snare on the first day. So hogs are so frustrating to snare.
They are.
And they're frustrating to trap, right? So the guys on the guys that are paid to be here full time or whatever, they've been having trouble trapping them, right?
Yes.
So, they're already spooked.
Yes.
They're already like going everywhere. And, I didn't know they're so finicky, but man.
Well, a lot of the hogs will go into traps if, as far as like pens or whatever. And then we're trapping the hogs that are more stubborn than the hogs that get trapped. So they're very much educated. Yep. And so they're a whole lot harder to trap. Most definitely. Mm-hmm. So
we had this snare set kind of over, so the field was up high and then it dipped down, and then it used to be where the water was high, and then like there's reeds and cattails and stuff, and then
correct,
it went out into the water, and so the hogs were running that edge line. And so we went down there and we saw fresh tracks, and we put the snare through this tight spot. That's what you're looking for when you're snaring, is anything the tightest spot where they're blocked down, where they're gonna come through there, and put that snare up. And
we had two snares down there on two different saplings, and we made contact with one.
Yep.
And Sarah and I were like,
we were just
jumping for joy.
Yes.
Girl power.
Yep. It's so nice to trap with you as a woman to woman. We're riding together. We're trapping together. It's nice.
I like it. I like seeing y'all trapping because Sarah traps with Jeff and Nick and, a slew of people. So I always enjoy watching all y'all's trapping adventures, but it is really cool to have you here and have us trapping together. Because you teach me a lot.
Are you kind of newer to trapping, or how did you get involved, more hands-on with trapping? Is it kind of a newer, or has it been progressive, or kind of...
It's newer to me. I stayed at home with our kids for years and raised them. And so Carl has always trapped. we always, we've always told this story. Carl and I have been going out with one another since I was 13 and he was 14, off and on through our high school years. And we got married at a young age. And but one of our first dates was trapping. Mm-hmm. And he caught a red fox. I think it was either a silver fox or a red fox. And he had to kill it. And I was raised in the city and he was raised in the country. So that was not what I was used to. Mm-hmm. But through the years, you know, I've become more privy to the terminology. And, you know, I've trapped with him a little bit. But I've really gotten into it since I've raised the kids. Mm-hmm. And I've helped him run the ADC business. So I'm good at that side of it. But as far as going out and actually trapping with Duke 650s or whatever mm-hmm. traps we're mm-hmm. using or snaring, that's fairly new to me. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm enjoying the mess mm-hmm. out of it. It's so much fun.
Yeah. A lot of times people say, well, you know, how do I get my wife more involved? And I don't think...
There's no set answer.
Yeah, there isn't. You know, like you said, it was just the time of your life where you and Carl are empty nesters. The kids are grown and,
yep.
you know.
We can travel a lot more. And I hope we get more work where we can travel and go do hunt clubs or people's personal property where they raise trophy deer or... Even if it's just their personal property and they like looking at the deer, you mm-hmm. know, and want to get rid of nuisance animals, or maybe those nuisance animals are causing them a problem in their homesteads, mm-hmm. you know. I like to be able to travel mm-hmm. and I love doing all this, and we both love doing what we do. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I remember last year, it was the first time. You know, obviously I got to trap with you and we just kind of was cut loose, you know, me and you, we're doing our own thing.
Yeah.
Carl, we give him crap because he says, you know, I can line some shit out in his redneck Southern boy voice. He can line some shit out. And the first time I'm like, this is so cool. Like Carl is just being like, such a gentleman. He is taking us to all the right places. He is just, you know, he wants us to catch all this stuff. And he's like,
she caught on real quick.
Yeah. Like, you make a set. Sarah, you just do a set there. Liz, you can do a set here. And he is just sitting back, drinking Bud Light, smoking his cigarettes, having a seat.
Man, sitting back on the four wheeler.
Yeah. Oh boy. I remember we were setting up a beaver spot and I went and grabbed a 330 out of the side by side and I'm like, all right, Liz, you go ahead and set this. And Carl's very protective of you. He does not want you getting hurt. He would rather, you know, I'll do it for you kind of thing. I see.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait a minute. A 330, Liz is going to set a 330. I said, yeah.
He was freaking out. he really was. He was freaking out. And he was like, I don't think that's a good idea. Here, let me do this.
Yep.
Let me do this.
And we're like, no, this is girl time. You just go back. It's fine. We got this. And, you know, we're driving through the field and see an armadillo. I remember. I'll never forget.
Oh my gosh.
And, I had my purple pistol sitting there and, we saw this armadillo and Liz says, you think we should shoot it? I said, yeah. She said, you said, can I shoot your purple pistol? I said, absolutely. You know, and so we stopped.
And how far was it? It was like 80 to 100 yards.
I'm terrible with distance.
Yeah, I'm horrible with distance. It was far away. Uh-huh. And Carl was flabbergasted.
Yeah.
I shot that purple pistol and I hit it the first time and it flipped upside down.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, because we just stop in the field. Carl's in the four-wheeler, you know, beside us or whatever. And he's like, what are you guys doing? We're like, I'm going to shoot that armadillo out there. He's like, oh, no, no. Yeah, we're shooting it.
We're going to shoot it.
Well, by, if you're going to shoot it, get closer. We're like,
yeah, he was wanting us to go closer to it. I said, no, I got this. Not realizing how far away he was sitting here in his mind calculating, oh my gosh, she's going to miss it. Mm-hmm. And I shot it and it turned upside, flipped upside down. And I was like, yes.
Yep, yep.
He said, I cannot believe you just hit it.
Yeah. Carl says, what did he say? Sarah, you coming down here is costing me a lot of money, because then you wanted your own gun at that point.
Yes. I wanted a purple pistol, and purple pistols are hard to come by, apparently. And so anyway, I got my own pistol this year, but it's green, but I like my pistol, and I actually haven't shot it yet, so I do need to get it out and shoot it. But I got to shoot Sarah's purple pistol today.
Yeah, you took care of a possum this morning.
I did.
Yep.
Spot on.
Yep, we got to go back and remake that set.
We do.
We have a bunch of sets to remake.
A lot of resets to remake. Absolutely. But that's the fun of it. You know, we go out and we check in the mornings, and then we come back in, we have lunch, we regroup, and then some of us, you know, go one way and take care of traps, but as a majority, we collaboratively get together and we go out together. And
well, and it's nice because, like, Alan absolutely loves trapping the coons and the possums and setting the DPs. Like, that is his mission here. I don't know how many hundreds of traps he has set.
Yeah.
And Jeff, they like the water trapping. So they're focused on beaver and otter. And then I like trapping the coyotes and bobcats and stuff. So me and you kind of get a lot of land sets out.
We do.
And then Carl, he's just good at lining shit out, telling us where to go, what to do.
He's like, here, do this, here, do this.
Yeah.
That is very true. He's good at coordinating.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Remember yesterday, Jeff had caught a beaver down at we're in this ravine.
Yes.
And we call them the S curves. The curves go in an S. And so the first S last year, I'll never forget, was we showed up. You guys had already had everything set up pretty much. And we showed up, you know, a week into it. And when that was the first place we stopped. And I said, you know, you got snares, right? And yep, any of the snares you want to set. And I said, well, I kind of like to put a snare right here. And, you know, I think Carl's just, absolutely, go ahead, you know, we'll fix it right up, whatever you like to do. I don't know if he thought, nothing's coming down that trail. I don't know. Maybe he knew it.
If he thought that, he wouldn't have told you that.
He would have never.
You want to set one there?
Yeah.
Let's set one there.
Anyway, the next day we caught a coyote there, and I was so excited. So yes. I caught a coyote there the first year. So obviously the second year I'm looking at for the same spot, and we get around the S curve. The second one, we're down there. Jeff's got a beaver, and so me and Jeff go down there. I went to record him, and I'm looking around, and I said, "There's the spot, Jeff. There's the spot for my coyote snare down here. I'm gonna do the same thing, you know, that I did last year. There's the spot right there." Jeff says, yep, that'd be good. You know, we'll come back and do it, because that's what we do. We check, and then we come back and set. So he's down there doing the thing, and all of a sudden, this truck must have come by. Anyway, all of a sudden, over this hill comes
a coyote.
Yeah, a coyote running so fast. A coyote comes down that trail, and Jeff calls.
All you hear is Sarah scream. There's a coyote! There's a coyote!
It's like, oh my gosh. I was so scared. I didn't know what was happening. I thought I was imagining it. You know, I'm just talking about, I can, because some, as a trapper, like, I don't know if you're the same way, but when I see a spot, I envision actually catching a coyote there. Yeah. I can see a coyote being caught there. And so, anyway, that coyote comes running over the thing, and I'm like,
I think you scared the coyote more than the coyote was scared of you.
And Jeff was scared, and Dustin was down there, and he was like, what? he went to grab his gun, and Jeff thought it was a snake, because that's, I scream when there's a snake.
Yes. Oh, yeah, but that's one thing I am scared of, are poisonous snakes. Mm-hmm. Now, the snakes that are not poisonous, I don't seem to be that afraid of, but poisonous snakes I'm afraid of. And we were doing this job last year. It was a different job last year. And we were actually pulling the job. Well, I had to go down in across a beaver dam to get to the other side to pull the coyote snare. Mm-hmm. So as I was going down, Carl said, just watch for snakes. Well, I'm not very good at seeing the snakes. And he knows that. And I cross the beaver dam, get over there, and I'm in the process of pulling the coyote snare, and I heard, oh, blankety blank, pow, pow. Well, apparently, I had walked right over the snake, and I didn't see it. And I was on the other side of the beaver dam, and he saw it, and he, thank goodness, shot it. Because I would have freaked out if I had been down there and see it. It probably would have tried to bite me.
Yeah, because they don't move.
No. No. And they blend in.
Oh, so much. The mental paranoia and exhaustion that I have had coming south trapping is, it's exhausting. Because I think, you know, I get myself hyped up to even look at a picture of them online, so I know what they look like. Yeah. And so I know what they look like from, like, Google and all of that, but actually seeing them in real life is, they blend in so well.
They blend in very well. I didn't know. And where that. You all are headed to?
Rattlesnakes.
Yes, ma'am.
Ugh.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Albert's been sending me pictures of these Texas cats. Oh my gosh, they're beautiful.
They're beautiful.
I can't
the
wait.
The spots on them, I can't are wait. Just wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, and he sent me pictures of rattlesnakes. Y'all. He sent me those, too. So I'm anxious to meet Albert. And
that'll be fun.
He's been a longtime friend of Clint. Clint used to trap with him a long time ago. And a lot of the videos that you saw of Clint in Texas trapping is the same ranch that we're headed to. So I'm anxious to hear the stories of Albert trapping with Clint back in the day. And kind of all the stories. And Albert put an order in for a bunch of Clint's lures and baits.
Good.
So when we get down there, so be anxious to use some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And then you've got Razorback snares.
So. Yes, we have all the snares and all the anchors.
Yes. So, so you're good to go as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun trip for you all.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Just have lots of t-shirts.
No hoodies. Yeah, it's so hot. Yeah, I looked. The weather's like high 70s, 80 some days.
Yeah. It's totally different weather than
I know,
what you're accustomed
to. Packing,
to.
I'm like, you know, because the weather here is like the highs are, I haven't even looked at the weather.
It's been 50s. In the 50s. We've had really decent weather so far. It's been in the 50s, low 60s, one or two days. But you never know what you're going to get when you come here. It could be highs in the 30s or 40s.
Yeah, we've been here at that time too.
Yeah.
So we have winter coats, we've got winter boots, we've got water in case it rains, we've got raincoats, and you know, and then in Texas is snake boots and t-shirts and all of that. And yeah, I'm thankful. I know we joke on here, but we always have overpacked, and Jeff has always overpacked, and I was telling him, he did not overpack this year, and I hope, so far we've been good for Arkansas. I don't know how we'll be for Texas. It's our first time going down there, but, you know, Jeff did not overpack, and the trailer is not overwhelmingly, it's like stuff everywhere. Like,
no.
It's nice. It's nice to not be overpacked.
Nice and clear and clean.
Yeah, yeah. You remember last year we had trap?
Yes.
Jeff brought like 300 330s and I don't know how many, 100 rods and TS-85s and 750s. And
the whole trailer was packed, and they had the side-by-side in there, and they had traps and everything all over it. It was hilarious.
Oh. The nicest thing about the trip this year was we got a different side-by-side. So we're running the Can-Am this year. Yes. And it's so nice and quiet. We can have a conversation when we're driving where that... We had a Honda before, and it was just so loud. We couldn't hear ourselves.
That's know, true.
Like, it just felt like your brain was rattling all day. This has been nice. Nice
machine. This is very, very quiet compared to some of them that I've been in.
Yep.
But it's very quiet compared to the one that you all had also.
Yep.
So it's... You're styling and profiling.
Yeah. Yeah, we rolled it off the trailer brand new. I don't even think it had a mile on it. And
it didn't?
No, it was muddy. We got it muddied, like, instantly.
We took pictures of it before and then pictures of it after it got drenched in mud.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we did have an adventure when we were checking traps yesterday. Jeff Haggerty went down in the water and to check one. Y'all had a beaver trap down there.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up falling in. He had waders on.
Yep.
And he ended up going up past his waders.
Yep, I saw his belly. He did a belly flop.
So that was interesting.
He always seems to at least once fall. Tim said he... On his very last check this morning, he went over his boots.
Oh, did he?
Yep, this morning.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't doubt that. We didn't get a picture of it, but we were doing a job before we came here. We were doing a beaver job, and it was actually in a subdivision. And I didn't have any waders on, and it wasn't that it was extremely water-filled. But the mud was, you would take a step and sink about 4 to 6 inches.
Uh-huh.
And I'm unsteady on my feet anyway. So Carl was walking ahead of me. And all of a sudden, I was even using a walking stick.
Mm-hmm.
But I lost my balance. And instead of going forwards, I went backwards. And I ended up sitting in the mud. And he turned around and he just shook his head when he heard me yell.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about the mud was it was, you know, 4 to 6 inches. So I couldn't just push myself up out of it. I had to turn around and get on my belly and push myself up on all fours. So I was completely drenched with mud and water.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily we didn't get any of that on camera.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. I enjoy doing beaver jobs. I enjoy them greatly. And we've had several that we've done in subdivisions this year, so I have fun doing them.
Yeah, it'll be spring beaver trapping before we know it. Last year we, of course, was down south here pretty much the month of February, and then by the time we got back home, we wanted to go to Iowa. It was still kind of froze up in Michigan. We wanted to go to Iowa, and we started trapping in Iowa. Got the line out, doing really good. You know, so good in Iowa. I mean, we were catching beavers and a ton of beavers. And then we thought we better go home because I know it's just the Hatter Market, but the beaver in Michigan are beautiful compared to the beaver in Iowa. Yeah, we got to go home. We got to get home. We got to get the beaver at home. And we get back home, and either there's too many trappers out, which I have no doubt with the beaver prices going up. So we started trapping up there. We didn't get near the numbers.
Really?
That we got the year before. So it was really disappointing. And I don't know if, I still don't know. Jeff assumes that we missed the beaver spring run up there.
Oh.
Where, you know, they're just traveling through, and that's our favorite time to trap is just when they're traveling through. The traveling beaver, so I don't know if we missed the traveling beaver or they done trapped him out. I don't know.
It could have been a combination.
It could have been, but
You missed
them. We said we should have just stayed in Iowa.
I enjoy trapping the beaver. And I love otter.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Love otter. I think they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. I know they're vicious as all get out, but yep. I really love otter. I love trapping them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how many? I caught an otter, what, the first night catch?
Yes.
And I think the guys have caught an otter today.
Yes.
Jeff caught an otter today. Haggerty caught an otter yesterday.
Yes.
But they're so tricky to catch. I mean, they are tricky, tricky. And I wouldn't know that if we didn't have the trail cameras on them.
No, no.
But,
Sarah's taught me about the trail cameras, and we put one out so far this year, and I'm having a good time with it. I haven't had many notifications at all, and I haven't seen any animals on it yet, so I'm looking forward to seeing animals on it. But
yeah, because we set it up on one snare, then
yes.
Where we couldn't see, two little piglets hopped through the snare. So we
yes.
moved the camera.
Yes.
Didn't get nothing.
No.
Then the next day, we had two hogs snared behind the camera.
Behind the camera, yes. And that's what I was fixing to say.
So, yeah.
And they were good size. They were decent size hogs. They weren't huge, but they were decent size hogs. But, yeah, they were behind the camera, so mm-hmm. we didn't get any footage of that. I was really disappointed in
yeah.
that. But we did get to see bobcat on one of your cameras.
Yeah. So the interesting thing, the cameras they can be so frustrating. Like, I'm frustrated with the one camera last night. I set it up. There was a weed in front of it, and the weed blew all night long. I woke up to, like, 136 notifications from this weed. Blowing, blowing, blowing. I wish, you know, technology could say, turn the camera off but I think there's a lot of room of improvement for
trail
cameras yet to come, but we have what we have now. But watching the trail cameras, these bobcats, so last night right before dark we were out skinning beaver, and bobcat pictures were just rolling in.
Yes.
And so
on this S curve that we were talking
yep.
about,
and Jeff had bobcats at the end of the levee where we had saw the cat toilet,
yes.
where you had saw the cat toilet. So,
yes.
you know, they move just right before dark. Mm-hmm. And then this morning, this coyote we saw, I started getting notification at 7:07, the camera came through, the picture came through. At 7:10, we saw a coyote.
Yes.
And then we didn't, then no other notification. And then at 7:16, the boys, Alan and Carl, had drove through.
Yes.
And it was just breaking, I would say. It was light out, but wasn't like full sunlight out.
No.
So
no, it was early.
Anyway, we caught the coyote, but.
Yes, and we just thought the coyote was running through. He was there.
Mm-hmm.
Or I did.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that he was running through, and then they came through. And
so we didn't know, did they bounce it, did it run off?
Right.
But
we ended up catching it.
Yep.
So that yep. was exciting.
But yeah, in the middle of the night, I mean, you don't get a lot of pictures of animal movement in the middle of the night. I mean,
yeah.
the pictures, once it gets dark, they start going off. And then in the morning, they start going off, so.
We did get, from Destin's camera, the picture of all the hogs.
Yeah.
Which, that was really cool to me.
Yes.
That was really cool, because I haven't seen a lot of hogs on the trail cams.
Mm-hmm. Man, they missed the snares again.
Yes. They went around them.
We plugged two of the most prominent trails, and then they scatter off into something that's not even the trail.
It wasn't even remotely the trails. So my goal today is to go back down there
yep.
and set more snares.
Absolutely. We got to load
We're
that thing
saturate
up.
Saturate
yep.
it.
Well, behind the scenes of being the women at the trap camp, we are in charge of food.
Definitely so.
So,
there's a process.
There is. And man, it's been a challenge. Each night has been something, but
oh my gosh, last night we'll get into that, but before we start traveling, what I do is I start preparing meals weeks in advance, and then I package those meals and I freeze them. That way I have at least a week's worth of meals, if not better. And all I have to do is load them up and then, you know, take them to wherever we're going to. Mm-hmm. So that way it makes it a whole lot more simple. Mm-hmm. When we get in from trapping at the end of the day, you know, I can just thaw out the meals, put it on, eat it, and then, you know, relax.
Yeah.
Because we're all drained at the end of the day. But I had made some spaghetti. And I make my spaghetti the same way every single year. And I thawed it out, but I put a sink of water and thawed it out in the water. Then we drained the water, and last night, two nights ago, mm-hmm. We were putting it into the cooking utensils. We were putting it into the pan to heat up, and the more it heated, the more watery it got.
And in the pan, it starts looking like soup.
Soup. Yes, soup.
Everybody's starving because it was, what time? It had to be, it was late. It was like 7.
It was between Everybody is starving. 7:30, and Sarah comes over, and I'm over here going, I'm freaking out going, oh my gosh, Sarah, this is, it's soup. It's not
so
spaghetti.
We're like, maybe we should serve it with crackers.
And Dustin's in there, bless his heart. Dustin's in there. Oh, we can do this, this, and this. Well, Sarah happened to find some ragu, so I'm like, okay, we're going to drain this.
So you drain the meat from the juice. We dump the meat into the new spaghetti sauce, and we had spaghetti for supper, and everybody thought it was great, and me and you and Dustin are just chuckling. Like, y'all have no idea what we went through. Yeah. And then yesterday, I made a pudding, like a pudding dessert. It had pudding in it.
Yes.
And I am just whisking the pudding, and I'm whisking. And I used the same bowl, had a little bit of Cool Whip in it, and I'm like, this is not right. Maybe I'll let it sit. And then I go back to whisking the chocolate pudding. And I'm like, Liz, this is not working. And you're like, well, honey, you need to whisk it 2 minutes. Maybe you should get out this KitchenAid mixer that I'd already put away that wasn't working great. So we get that back out. Dirty all the dishes for that. We turn it on. It's squealing and going. Another 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not right. Anyway, the pudding was cook and serve, not instant. So we had to get a pan, get it all. Anyway, we got that all done. But it's like one roadblock after another with this food.
We've made it work. But I told her, I said, okay, I've never done a cook and serve pudding before, but let's try this.
Right. So then last night we thought, we're going to have hamburgers last night for supper. And the guys have agreed to cook the hamburgers for us.
Yes.
And we were going to have an early supper. Everybody had put in a lot of sets. Well, we started Skin and Beaver out there. Then they start drinking beer out there.
Yes.
And then it's after dark. And I said to Liz, I said, I don't know what we're going to do.
Who's going to cook?
Who is going to cook? Because they're all drinking.
Yeah.
And so anyway, Tim came in, happened to be the first person that come in.
Yeah.
Offered to say, do you need anything? Yes. We need the hamburgers grilled. So anyway, we said we need them done in 30 minutes, and they're only going to take a few minutes. How long did it take them to make? They were out there forever.
They were out there longer. We were doing fries, and I had told Carl, I said, okay, it's going to take me about 30, 35 minutes to do these fries because I had 2 big trays of fries, and this is a gas oven. So anyway, he said, okay, well, I'll wait about 10 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, and they're going to get the grill on, clean the grill, fire it up, get it heated. And then, anyway, Tim and Carl were out there.
Yes.
Carl was drinking beer.
Yes.
Tim was drinking liquor.
Yes.
They we look out the window and we don't even know what they're doing.
Don't have a clue what they were doing. But long story short, our 30, 35 minutes came and went. The fries were ready. And I stuck my head outside and said, "Hey, honey, how much longer do you have?" He said, "Oh, probably
10, 15 minutes.
10 or 15 minutes. And I'm thinking, okay, how long does it take to fix the burgers?
So we're looking out the window, and Tim, of all people, I never thought Tim would do this. Me and Liz are looking out the window, and Tim mooned us.
Luckily, we couldn't see it because the grill hatch was up, and we could see nothing, but we knew what he was doing, and we just start rolling. These are the adventures that we have when we all get together, and it is so much fun in numbers, having all the different personalities together, so I'm having a blast.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, speaking of food, it is 12:08 p.m., and we are in charge of lunch.
Yes. So. We need to go up there and fix for the guys.
Yep. Well, thanks for joining me on this trapping radio.
Yes. I've enjoyed it.
Fun little chat. Yep. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you with Razorback Snares, you have a Facebook page, right? That's the only social media you're on is Facebook, right?
Yes, we have Razorback Snares Facebook page.
Okay, if somebody does not have Facebook, you mentioned an email address, which would be?
Yes, you can contact us via email, which is elizabeth9653@att.net.
Okay.
Or you can call Carl on his cell number, which is 901-
Yep, go ahead.
I don't know if I should tell his number on this podcast, but 901-484-1035, or you can call my cell number, which is 901-870-1206.
All right. Yep.
And we'll be glad to take care of all your sneering needs.
Yep, sounds good. Okay, guys, thanks for joining. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I know it's been a change in it, and we're trying real hard to make sure that we're consistent on getting these out. But as always, if you have any ideas or would like us to talk about something, let us know. Or anybody that you wish that we would interview, let us know that. And sponsors this week are... Thank you to our two sponsors, which are Funky Trap Tags and Supplies out of Guthrie Center, Alan, the Funk Master, and F&T for Harvesters. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling.
It's a mouthful.
Yep. And so anyway, all right. Thanks, guys, and have a good week, and we'll catch up next week.